Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. This is Lisa Scheffler, and we are in our Summer at CF Fruit of the Spirit series, and we are to patience. Wow, patience is something that we probably all would admit that we need more of. How do we gain patience in a world that's moving so quickly? Well, today I talked to Neil Mackey, one of our elders, about that very subject. I think you'll enjoy our conversation. Hi, friends. It's Lisa here again. Before I get to my conversation with Neil, I wanted to announce a couple of things. First of all, for the entire month of July, Pastor's Pregame will be doing some very special episodes. We'll be doing some interviews with people who are trying to live out their faith and impact others for the gospel. It's going to be a really good series of podcasts that I think you'll enjoy. However, if you're going to be missing discussions of the Bible over the next month, you might want to step on over and check out a brand new podcast that I am launching with my friend and fellow staff member Jan Touchberry called Untwisting Scripture, where we are going to have some honest conversations about the Bible and all its wonder and complexity. We're going to start with some called Ripped Out of Context, looking at verses that are commonly taken out of the Bible and used in all kinds of ways. So if you are someone who loves to talk about the Bible, or you're just someone who wants to learn more, why don't you check out Untwisting Scripture on Spotify or Apple Podcasts? All right, now on to my conversation with Neil. All right, welcome back everybody to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I am here with Neil Mackey, who I'm going to introduce you as the husband of Lou Mackey.
I'll take it. That's the way most people know me.
So. Who did an amazing job preaching on peace.
Yesterday, yes.
Yes, did a great job. So we get back-to-back Mackeys.
Yeah, kind of interesting. Maybe good, maybe bad. We'll see how people react to that.
Oh, I think it's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, she set a high bar, so now I gotta bring my A game.
That's right. She did great. So yeah, so we're in this Fruit of the Spirit series, which I don't know about you, but I'm finding it very convicting. Mm-hmm. So we're going through it, like, oh, okay. But also encouraging in some ways, because I'm like, well, these are gifts of the Spirit. And so it's not just on me to conjure this stuff up out of my own, like, will, and my own, you know, self. It's like the Spirit is going to, I work with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the kind of attributes we're talking about are supernatural in nature. And the Spirit wants us to have them because they make us more like Jesus. So you have one that I think a lot of us would say, oof. Patience.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to clarify, the NIV translates it as forbearance, mm-hmm. which I think we can talk about the difference between patience and forbearance, sure. and which one we like better.
Yeah, I think in a couple ways, when I think about patience, at least in my own life, sometimes maybe within the fruits of the Spirit, I think it can, or the fruit of the Spirit, it can kind of fly under the radar, maybe a little bit, because it's maybe not quite as tangible or feel as big as some of the others. But in the same way, as I look at patience in my own life or in my own, as I study it, it's probably one of the hardest ones mm-hmm. to conquer. You know, I know for each of us, we have a fruit of the Spirit that maybe we focus on during a year project, or as we're looking at you know, just being more filled with the Spirit, being more Christ-like. But patience might be one that I think sometimes can fly under the radar. People say, yeah, I'll get to that next year. I'm going to work on love.
I don't want to work on patience.
You know, kindness or whatever that looks like. But patience, I'll get there.
Yeah. I know, growing up, my mom used to tease me and say, don't ever pray for patience because the Lord will give you lots of opportunities to practice it.
Correct.
So yep. All kinds of things will go wrong in your life so that you get to practice patience.
What a tough one.
Okay. So I wanted to ask, though, I know a lot of times when you hear the word patient, you think, okay, that means like being patient sitting in traffic mm-hmm. or waiting in line. But I think the biblical definition of patience is probably a little bit bigger than that mm-hmm. or deeper than that. And that's kind of where that word forbearance comes in.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Yeah. Even when you look at, like, as I'm preparing, you look at a dictionary definition of patience, it gives us that. It gives us the Western view, our world view of patience, which mm-hmm. is, I lost my patience with my kids, or I lost my patience sitting in traffic. Patience is the ability to maintain calm when in a difficult situation, or something to that nature. And although I think we see that in scripture as well, and there's benefits to that, so we should not dismiss.
Let's not write that off.
Yeah, let's not dismiss the fact that I should be patient with my spouse, my kids, etc. But there is a deeper connotation biblically, especially the word that we see within the fruit of the Spirit, where it uses that word forbearance or long-suffering or endurance or however we want to look at that. There's a, at least from my study and what I've seen, there's really a sense of enduring and working through difficult situations. And then comparing that to biblically, I don't want to get too far ahead, of as we're called to endure, we're called to work through, we're promised difficulties and hardships. And so this word that Paul's using, I think is more, yeah, to your point, is more than sitting in traffic and not losing my cool.
And not losing your temper, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the resources that I used for the Engage God Daily, I like the way he put it. He said, forbearance is just like the, these are good old English words we don't use so much anymore, but forbearance means bearing with, literally. And it's like that ability to bear with people. And that can be so hard. There can be people in your life that really try your patience and you have to bear with.
Sure.
And then he said the other part of it is that old English word long suffering, which is literally just to endure suffering for a long time. And he said both of those words are wrapped up in the concept of patience, which I thought was really helpful because I think those old English words are a little more descriptive.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's important, once again, that, yeah, we don't dismiss either.
Right.
Either
you need
or.
Both. They're both wrapped up in that concept.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How is God a God of patience? Because when I started looking at this, one thing that I realized is that most of these fruits of the Spirit, I think really all of them, we emulate God. We emulate Christ in them. Like, he's the exemplar of patience. So how is God a God of patience?
Yeah, and I think that'll be, you know, point number one of where I go this week is you know, spoiler alert, but we practice patience to imitate God.
Yeah.
Our practicing of patience, the way of, like you said, of all the fruits, is an imitation of God himself. And we don't have to go, I mean, we have to go way far back to see God. God was patient in the garden.
Right.
God was patient with Adam and Eve and their failure. He covered them, and then we can just go down the list. He was patient with Noah and with Moses and with Abraham's many failures, and God. And so I think biblically we can just see God be patient over and over from the Old Testament, and then he goes right into the New Testament. Lou used the analogy of Peter yesterday, and Peter, and God was, Christ was so patient with Peter.
Yes.
And he was patient with
all the disciples.
You know, and they said, you know, and she used the analogy of the boat, and what a great testimony where they said, Jesus, save us. You know, we're going to drown. We're going to die. And he gets up and he goes, guys, you know,
I got this.
And so what, you know, over and over and over again, we see God as a patient God. So.
Yeah. The Old Testament describes it a lot as slow to anger, which I think is really good. That's a good definition of patience too, is, you know, he gives us lots and lots of space to make our own choices.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes we choose poorly and eventually we will pay the consequences for those. But man, he doesn't come down quick. He's not like an angry judge that as soon as you step out of line is like, that's a $500 fine right there, buddy. You know, he's just not like that. He's very slow and patient. Even, and I appreciate that so much in my own life, because I know there are areas in my life where I feel like I've grown and changed, and there are other areas of life where I'm still just struggling.
Yeah.
And I feel like God is still patient with me in those struggles.
What a great, you know, I thought of this week. What a great reminder. My boys like yours are a little, like your children are a little older now. So maybe not dealing with some of the same hardships as
no tantrums in the grocery stores anymore.
Correct.
But
yeah, we're beyond
different
that.
Kinds of tantrums.
Beyond that, but man, what a great challenge! What a hard challenge for young parents, for parents of young kids, to look at God as patient, as our Father, as a patient Father, and just to make that connection or that click to say, I choose patience with my children. I choose to be patient, to enduring with my young children. And I think that's a real challenge.
It's a real challenge. because as human, I mean, as parents, we're humans and we have our own emotions. And sometimes I know you get in your own feelings and your kid is just driving you crazy and made you really angry.
Sure.
And so just having that, that supernatural Holy Spirit led patience to slow down, to be slow to anger and to not react, not to be so reactive to things that they do. And man, that is not easy. Sometimes they test your patience.
Yes. Yes. But as the example of the father that we have is a patient father. So what an example to follow.
So how is our relationship with God essential to us having patience? How can our connection with the Father, our connection with the Holy Spirit help us grow patience in our everyday life with all those people around us who may test us?
You know, number one is just that as we, you know, I've been thinking lately about, you know, I've been a believer for the better part of my adult life, 25 years, and what a process.
Yeah.
It's just, it's such a process. And, you know, even just the conversation we were having outside before we started, Lisa, was just of being open to God's change and movement into my own life. And so this idea that, that God will continue to transform me into his image, that I haven't arrived yet, that I'm going to walk this walk in my pursuit of holiness, in my pursuit of godliness for as many years as I have on this earth.
Yeah.
And part of that's just growing. And the fruits of the Spirit, what a challenge that we can just take these nuggets and say, I'm going to work on this and I'm going to submit myself to you, God.
Yeah.
You as the example of, in this case, patience. You as the ultimate example of a patient, good, loving God. And I'm going to use all the examples I see in the Old and the New Testament, and let that transform me as I continue to walk my life. And then I think in so many things where we're trying to grow, I mean, we'd use this with our children. I use this in my personal life is making something tangible, making tangible steps towards something. If all I do is say, I want to be more patient, it's not going to go anywhere.
It becomes more of a wish.
Sure. Yeah. If I just say it, but really don't work towards it. So what am I doing? What am I doing in my everyday life to practice long suffering, enduring, patience, whatever word I use for that in those different situations, from something so simple as sitting in traffic. And how am I making tangible steps to not lose my cool to going through a major hardship?
Yeah.
And what's it look like when the house is falling down around me? What do I do? How does my life look different from my neighbor's life?
Yeah.
And that's just the Spirit of God working in me. And so.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And saying, and that the whole idea of Jesus being the vine and us the branches, and we got to stay connected to the vine. Yeah. And that's how the patience will flow through us, right? We have to be right with him. Like Lou talked about, like that's the first step to peace is being right with God.
Absolutely.
I think the first step to be patient is also being right with God.
Probably in all of the fruit that we see in the examples is, my connection to God has to be on.
Yeah.
Because there is definitely a breach or a break if I'm not right with God, if I have unconfessed sin, if I have broken relationships with others. Those are going to affect my daily life, my daily walk.
Yeah. So. And I think humility plays a really important part in being patient as well. I think sometimes the reason we get impatient is because we think we're the center of the universe.
Sure.
You know, like we are only focused on our own needs, our own wants. And I know when we kind of flip the script and we think, well, what does this other person need?
Yeah.
You know, this is an image bearer. Even if I don't know them, they're a stranger. They're an image bearer of God.
Wow.
And I need to love them because Christ calls me to love them. So what I don't know what they're going through. So maybe I need to be patient with them, even if they are being difficult in some way, because I need to love them as Christ loves them. And so that's something I try to remember. I'm not saying I'm good at it all the time.
It's a good challenge. It's a good challenge.
But the Lord does give me opportunities to practice that sometimes. Okay, well, that's one part of patience. That's kind of the forbearance part. Mm-hmm. But what about the long-suffering part? How can our view of God help us in those long trials? Like, say you're going through a financial crisis where you lost your job, or say you've got an illness that's really hard, or you know, some of these things, how can we have that sort of endurance and perseverance?
Sure. Well, I certainly don't own the magic pill or the
if you did, you'd offer it for free.
Yeah, or the easy answer to that question, because, you know, we live in a fallen world with lots of hardships and lots of difficulties, and we've all lived those. And I think sometimes it's easy to compare hardships and difficulties. I heard somebody say not too long ago, especially as I think of the Western culture, or even just where we're at, Collin County, Texas, that sometimes we can belittle or negate the hardships that we have because maybe they don't compare to the rest of some of the world or what other people are going through.
Right.
But that's not always fair either. I heard somebody recently say that what the worst thing you're going through is the worst thing you're going through. And something so simple like that's kind of stuck with me. Like, my 16-year-old's hardship is still...
Right. Even though you as an adult look back and go, you're going to be fine.
You're going to be fine. But it's
but
valid.
To them, at the moment...
It's valid because
that's a good point.
It's what my 16-year-old's going through right now. And he's living through what he's living through. And so I need to be conscious of that. I think, number one, of what he's going through. And then I guess using that as the example of using my 16-year-old as the example would be just the benefit of working through that. I think in so many ways, and we know that as we get older, we've had more experiences, is there is benefit to working through difficulties.
Yeah.
In God's amazing world where things don't always make sense, I would compare it even sometimes to our giving and how when we give to the Lord and he provides in this amazing way, and it seems like it shouldn't work that way.
Yeah.
But, and I think that hardships are the same, where, wait a minute, wouldn't it be better if it was just easy? Wouldn't it be better if I just wasn't going through this?
Yeah.
But that's not God's math. 1 + 1 = 2 doesn't always work in God's culture.
No, and I think and look, I always hated this when I was young, because my mom would be like, well, you're building character when I go through something hard. And I'd be like, oh, come on, Mom. Maybe I have enough character.
Sure.
But, you know, honestly, that's true, though. I mean, the things that we go through on the other end. And look, I would say also, sometimes it takes a long time.
Yeah.
Like when you go through something really hard, it's going to take a long time to get some perspective on it.
Yeah.
And so to be patient in that. And to be patient in the, like, there's this poem that a friend of mine sent me years ago when I was going through something hard. And the poet talked about the slow work of God.
Yeah.
And how we have to recognize in our instant culture, where you and I were talking about how Amazon will bring you something in like 3 hours if you need it.
If you get it, order in the next 17 minutes.
Yes.
You'll have it today.
Yeah. So we're so used to getting things instantly. And so I think that's conditioned us to get frustrated if we don't see results or we don't see something, some move of God quickly.
Yeah, the character building is so big, what you said there, Lisa. I think that in the same way, going back to an example with children, for those that have, if not I'm overusing it, but is sometimes you're creating almost, I found myself as a young parent years ago, almost creating hardship and obstacles for my children.
Mm.
Because things are so easy sometimes that sometimes it's almost a creation of, I'm going to create some level of discomfort or difficulty so they have to work through this and build some character. I think in some ways God's doing the same thing with us.
Yes.
Like, you know what? Neil needs a little bit of, you know, Neil needs to grow. And I've heard many times, and I don't think it's new to many people, is we rarely grow. We rarely go deep with God when the sun's shining and the birds are chirping and everything's going
that's
perfect
kinda
in
true.
Our lives.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, that's, you know, it's through the pain and the hardships that my faith and my character and my patience in this case are tested and proven to be worthy of a believer, and also proven to grow and change. Yeah. And so I think that we need some of that. We need a certain level of discomfort in our lives, as crazy as that sounds.
Well, and I think the other thing that I love about God is, you know, my mom used to talk about tests and, you know, but when God tests you, it's not like a professor testing you or a teacher testing you. Because they're sitting on the other side of the room just watching you struggle sometimes. And God's not like that. He's like, I'm growing you by standing with you.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. I'm carrying you. I've given you my spirit. So this is not a challenge that I'm like, you got to make it across the finish line to get that character. He's like, no, I am running alongside you. Sometimes lifting you over the obstacles to help you. That's a different view of it. And I think we can never, I don't know that we understand the vastness of God's love for us and how with us he really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that I read something earlier that, you know, to your point, God was right there with his chosen people for 40 years, but it was still 40 years.
Yeah.
It was a long game.
It was a long time.
You know, and so, and he was taking care of them and providing for them. And yeah. We see that even through their astonishing, you know, disregard for him during that time and their disobedience. But he was right there creating character and building into them, even though it was a patient scenario. They walked around the desert a while.
That was a whole generation, yeah. Right, that had to pass. Okay, I want to ask this. On the flip side, how do you think a lack of patience affects our relationships with other people?
Yeah, well, I think on a real obvious kind of straightforward way is nobody wants to be around a hot-headed, quick-tempered person. I mean, that's just not a... Inside the church, outside the church, that's just not a good quality trait. And so to be slow to anger, slow to temper, you know, the opposite of long suffering or long enduring is slower to. And so, I think just on a very easy answer side is, man, I don't want to be around the same way. I don't want to be around negative people.
Right.
I just have no room. I don't have no need in my life at this point to be around people that are overly negative. In the same way, I don't want to be around people that are hot tempered and that are just quick to lose their patience. What a negative character trait. So on that side, just, it's just a negative on all aspects. And as a believer, as a representative of Jesus Christ, I'm called to, love others above all. And so part of me loving my neighbor, loving my friend, loving is being patient and being slow with them and getting there. So I guess two sides to that. One is just if you're a hot-tempered, fast, impatient person, fast to lose your cool, you're really limiting your ability to impact the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Because number one, you're just not representing Christ well, but also it just doesn't give you the opportunity to show love and kindness to others, which we're called to. And like to what we were talking about earlier, I think this peace and kindness and patience, they all kind of intertwine in a lot of ways. If I'm not patient, how am I kind? If I don't have peace, how can I be patient? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of rollover in these where I don't think I can accomplish complete patience without kindness or love or some of the other fruits. So.
Yeah, that's why they're more like facets on a jewel, like Bruce said the first week, rather than distinct character traits, because they all interweave.
Sure.
And that's a really, really good point. Yeah, I think, you know, the other flip side of that is sometimes you will lose it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all done it. Or sometimes you will have a big pity party for yourself when you're going through something difficult. And I think that's where confession, repentance, and seeking forgiveness comes into play. Mm. You know, I know as a young mom, I used to lose it every once in a while on my kids because I just had it, you know, up to here. And I always just felt terrible about it later. But I learned I had to apologize to my kids.
Sure.
Like part of when you don't have patience is going to the person and saying, I'm sorry I lost it. That was inappropriate. That was completely wrong.
Yeah.
I should not have yelled at you. I shouldn't have said that thing. I shouldn't have done that thing. Whatever it is, and apologize. And what I've learned is, you know, your kids or your family or people who know you, they don't expect you to be perfect.
Yeah.
They know, I mean, they will accept your humanness, but at the same time, you will build a stronger relationship if you are willing to ask forgiveness and make amends.
Mm-hmm.
And try to do better, you know, and say, okay, I'm gonna keep it together next time things get stressful.
Yeah. What does this look like to not lose my cool next time?
Yeah.
You know, what steps do I have to take? And
I used to put myself in mommy timeout.
Yeah.
I really did. I'd be like, I just need a minute. Mom needs a minute, because I felt you listen to your body and you go, okay, my heart rate's up. My skin is flushed. My breathing is a little more rapid. I can tell I'm getting close to the boiling point. So I need to just take a moment and say, and this is true with your spouse, you know, like I'm going to go give myself 5 minutes.
I think that's really good, Lisa. I think so many times we can almost take the long suffering portion of this or the enduring portion and forget just what you're talking about,
which
is
the daily forbearance.
The forbearance, which is sometimes is I'm going to sit in the driveway a minute before I've had a long day at work. You know, mm-hmm. I've had friends that have said that, you know, that are in stressful jobs or jobs that maybe in corporate America where, you know, it's just been hustle and bustle all day. It's 10 hours straight. And so I've got a good friend that shared that with me one time. I thought it was great. He said, you know, when I pull into my driveway, I shut off the radio, I close my eyes, and I take 5 or 7 or 8 minutes before I walk into my house to prepare my heart. So I walk in as the husband, as the father, as the leader that I want to be, walking through the door, and leave the baggage of the last 8 hours or 9 hours of my day behind.
That's really good advice. And, yeah.
And I, something so simple like that to make a just a real tangible step to say, I'm going to practice patience. I'm going to practice these things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And I think same thing with the endurance part is sometimes I know when you're going through something hard, I think, first of all, you might throw that pity party every once in a while.
Sure.
But you can't stay there.
Yeah.
But also relying on other people. I think this is another part where having the body of Christ around you is so important. Mm-hmm. I know in the hardest times of my life, what's gotten me through is the people around me who have been like, I'm praying for you. I got you. What can I do to help? How can I help you in this difficult situation? So I think we can help each other cultivate patience being there for one another in those hard times. Yeah. So this is good. This is like, I don't know how you're going to only preach for 30 minutes. I mean, it seems like you could talk for an hour.
Yeah, it's certainly one that when the list was offered, I thought, patience, that's number one, because, you know, whenever I'm speaking to myself.
Right. It always starts with us first.
It's always coming at me at the same time it's going out. So I always tell people, I'm not a seasoned pastor. And so, man, it is God speaking to me through the text completely and challenging me. And then that challenge just becomes reciprocal, but it's always to myself, just like it is. It's never an outward, only. So absolutely. I think, and you know, we touched on a little bit, we live in an accelerated world.
Yeah.
I mean, we here in the West, and so I can't speak for everyone. I haven't been all over the world, but what I do know is that, you know, I have teenage boys and I run a small business, and my wife and I are very involved at the church. She works, she's in school, and man, our lives are busy. And patience is not something that I think we are doing a great job of teaching the next generation on the West, and then even to ourselves. I mean, everything's fast. You mentioned Amazon. It's the same with the food that we eat and the pizzas that we order. And I was thinking, as I was kind of preparing and thinking about, you know, even things like my boys have never experienced the look out the window of the car and, you know, make fun games or, you know.
Yes, count the number of cows you see.
Yeah. What's the cloud look like?
Yes.
Because they've got a screen in front of them, whether that's built into the car or built into the computer that they have on their lap. And just so many things where we are not, we're not the most patient society.
No. No, in fact, we've tried to fix it so we don't ever have to be patient.
Try not to be.
We're like, I want that in 30 minutes or less, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I think that's really good. That's going to be a good thing to explore. And I think some ways we could all challenge ourselves. So maybe that's what we need to think of when we get stuck in that traffic, or we are dealing with someone who's difficult. Go, okay, Lord, you're cultivating something in me here. And I need to be aware of what the Spirit's trying to do, because I don't get challenged in this way that much.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. All right. Well, Neil, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely.
And for coming in and for preaching this Sunday. And it's, you know, we miss Bruce when he's gone. But man, it's kind of neat to see different faces and get different perspectives every week.
Sure. Big shoes to fill, but it's absolutely my pleasure. I cherish the opportunity and look forward to this Sunday. So thanks, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, everybody, I want to let you guys know that for the next few weeks, we will be having some special podcast episodes. We've got a bunch of people coming in to be interviewed about their faith walk and how they walked with the Lord and how they're using the things they've gone through to impact others for the kingdom. And so Victoria Aguas is here on staff, and she's going to be interviewing some people. And I think you'll really enjoy these people and their perspectives on things. So let me close us out in prayer, and then I will close us out on this podcast. Father God, I thank you for Neil. I thank you for his dedication to you. I thank you for his love for you. I thank you for who he and Lou are as a couple and their desire to serve you by serving this church. And Father, I pray for all of us that you would continue to grow us in the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. that we would be so connected to the vine, we'd be so connected to you, Jesus, be so connected to the Spirit, that these things would start to flow out of us. And as we cooperate, as we submit ourselves to you, as we acknowledge where we fail, but yet seek you for forgiveness and repentance, that you would greatly increase our patience with one another, that we would forbear with one another, and that we would also long suffer well, that we would recognize that you are working even in the hard times. You're working maybe even more in the hard times, and that we can trust you to see us through to the other side. So we love you, Lord, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody. I won't see you back next week, but Victoria will.